is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Faith is the response to what you say you believe. I believe He's there. I believe He's out there. Okay, then here's the Word of God. Do you believe He is God? Well, I mean, that makes sense. I believe He's God. Because if you really believe He's God, then these words that are coming in will motivate your faith. And you'll be able to act on things you can't see, some things you don't see the result of, you can't see. And you'll begin to make decisions because God has said, and not because you can see how everything's going to work out. That's how we work in this life. We plan out, we anticipate, we try to do a little providence stuff, manipulate things, and hopefully it works out.
Faith. It's a word that you may hear a lot, but what does it really mean? Today on Building on the Solid Rock, Pastor Troy shares that faith is your response to what you say you believe. When you sit down in a chair, you act on your faith that the chair will hold you up. Similarly, when it comes to your walk with God, your trust that He is who He says He is and He'll do what He says He'll do gives you the confidence to follow Him, even when it's hard or doesn't make sense. You can take that leap because of your faith in Him. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 1 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
So God sees in advance and He can call the shots, and He can never call any shot without seeing the results in advance. He can never do anything without seeing things in advance because He's God. So some will ask now, well, then if He could see in advance, why did He even create Satan? If Satan was also going to rebel and then harm man and cause the fall of man, why, if He could see this in advance, why would He allow this? Do you think He was caught off guard by Satan's fall? No. It's because all things are working together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And God saw in advance, it seems. What is the whole Bible about? Well, one thing that it's about is His love for us, the plan of redemption. And it seems that God saw the opportunity for Him to demonstrate this. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. Let me just stop there first. For God so loved the world. That's what He wanted to demonstrate. But see, in the garden, perfect, it was hard to demonstrate that depth of love. And so God sees in advance what's going to happen. He knows it, but He goes, this is going to work perfectly. And He sees it, and it works for His plan, His will, one of which is to reveal such a great love as He has for us. He didn't create Satan evil on a purpose. It's hard to believe as you read the scriptures that He created evil, or that He unleashed evil on people. There will be a day when He unleashes wrath, but that's judgment for evil, for rebellion, for wickedness. So He didn't create Satan evil on purpose, but He saw it in advance and used it for His glory. And God is able to do that. So in this one encounter, these guys are exposed to some deep truths about God. At least we've mined some deep truths from it. God sees them. God knows them, knows everything about them, and He chooses them. The disciples are going to get a perspective change on their following Him because they're the ones who followed Him. Like one of them came after Him and then confronted, and Jesus said, okay, come on. But He'll say to them in John 15, you did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So, the Lord chooses. That's the side of election and some of the character and nature of God in his ability to elect. Now, the other perspective, which is really the only one we could ever do anything about anyway, is human choice, free will. It's also a truth, and let me say this, it's not a truth worth fighting about. And unfortunately, blood has actually been shed in arguments over these two truths. That's not the Lord. That kind of arguing is not the Lord. And what's the insanity of it is, this has nothing to do with us drawing closer to the Lord. It has everything to do with us trying to figure out how God does something. And when we start to figure out how God does everything, God becomes much smaller and easier to figure out. But his ways are higher than our ways. And it's intended to be that way. He's God, and we're not. So, let's not let certain things cause us to rise up and fight our own brethren, because this is a how God does things argument. And how God does things, our salvation is dependent upon that. God does it how he does it, whether we understand it or not. But the important thing for us is to know him. To know him. And one of the things that we want to know is that he's sovereign. One of the things we want to know is, what we're going to learn now is, there's some choices we got to make in life. And their choices will be held accountable for. So, it's nothing to fight about, but it's like there are these two tensions. And I think the Word of God as a whole holds together like the Golden Gate Bridge, which, if you know, it's a suspension bridge. It must have these two tensions in order to hold up that bridge. Without one of them, it all collapses. And I believe that God has sovereignly designed the Scriptures to come to us just like this, so that men would not develop the sense of, hey, I've got it figured out. So sometimes we see both truths in the same verse. John 6, verse 37 says this, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." That's clearly election. That's a statement of this will happen. But this is clearly human choice. "And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." That is not a piggyback statement of, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and only the ones who come to me will come to me, and I won't cast them out. That's not the statement. It speaks of, and I am open. I am willing to receive. I am open. Anyone who comes to me, I'm not going to cast out. So, there's still room for fighting. I understand that, but put your gloves away. Luke chapter 22, verse 22. "And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined." That's election. This is something that is going to happen. It's predetermined. "But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." That's human choice. That means this is going to happen, but God is working sovereignly through circumstances, natural, not making Judas do that, but using decisions that someone like Judas would make, who was among them, who Jesus chose to be among them, would make, so that naturally, supernaturally, God's will would be done. So, verse 43. "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.' So Jesus says, 'Follow me, Philip,' and Philip chooses to follow, again, without the idea of an irresistible grace that he cannot deny. He follows him. He just chooses to follow him. No big deal. God knew it all along. But he didn't have to go, ooh, ooh. He just knew. And so, he believes in the Messiah, believes in him as the Messiah. Not only that, but he begins to tell others right away because of the Scriptures. When it comes to the human side of the equation, we're going to talk about a few things. The first thing is investigation. investigation. That's on us. There are sometimes and some who need some time to examine and investigate and question things. They need to reason in their mind. Maybe that wasn't you, but there are many who do have to process things. Some things they got to work out, read the scriptures, and make sense of life and what they've heard. Philip says in verse 45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said, verse 46, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" This is the response of a skeptical person, someone who's not yet willing to believe or not, they're thinking, this doesn't make sense. No way. So, Philip says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, here's the background here in his response. The people of the south in Judah and Jerusalem look down on those from the far north, Galilee. They look down on them for several reasons. They kind of considered them as unsophisticated, not really in touch with daily temple life. Often they were very blue-collar fishing types that didn't have the greatest of education and couldn't fend for themselves in the scriptures. You remember when the Pharisees or the religious leaders were looking down at the disciples, they said there were unlearned, uneducated guys down there that were powerfully speaking for the Lord. Must not have been their education, certainly, but they noted that he had been with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. So they were looked down on, and Nazareth was like the armpit of Galilee. It was the lower looked upon place. Nathanael was from Cana, but being a high school rival, he probably thought, Nazareth? No way, nothing good can come from there. And so it just doesn't make sense in his reasoning yet. He hears, but nothing makes sense to him. There's some things to process. Now, God's not in his brain going, we're processing, we're processing, we're processing. No, he's processing. He's thinking. He has questions. He has doubts.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
So the question. For Philip, it was pretty easy. Philip just believed. Word of God says, this is the guy. John the Baptist had authenticated it. Good to go. Makes sense to me. But Nathanael, he had some more information, some more experience that was necessary for him to process to this point of what we'll look at next. There are some who are like Philip, and you may be ministering to them now. Maybe they're children or parents or friends or whatever, and they're trying to reason and process the information. And that's fine. There are some like Nathanael who do that. Some like Philip, easy. Nathanael, on the other hand, here's what you got to do with the Nathanaels. You got to give them some space. Because you don't convert anyone. You can never make enough sense of the scriptures to convert anyone. It's the Lord who converts a soul. It's the Lord who can spend time with someone personally so that no one else knows anything, to get them to the point where in their own mind they're going, I see it. I see it. So there's investigation. That's on our part, you know. And there are some, they've heard the same scriptures. I've heard some tell me the same stories of, I sensed there was something calling me, but I didn't want to live that way. And so I chose, now that's resisting. I chose not to. And to this day, I just don't have a heart for religious things. Doesn't mean that they've committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but they had an opportunity, and even there at the threshold, they had a will, and they made some choices. So there are so many different experiences when it comes to how the Lord draws people to Himself. And investigation, for some, is a very big part of that experience. So, in addition to investigation, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." The second that it's kind of in our court is belief. Now, before we start firing our weapons, this is Texas. Let me separate for you two things, faith and belief. I'm separating those two. Believing is in our court. Faith, God provides. Faith is a gift from the Lord. Faith is the ability to act on something we cannot see. In the natural state, that would be impossible. It's impossible to act on something you don't see. But God has given to each a measure of faith. We can demonstrate faith only because God has given us that. Without that, we would have no hope, no chance. And so God has given to each a measure of faith. Each of you demonstrated a little bit of faith, the idea of faith, when you sat down in your chair without inspecting it this morning. You didn't know if that chair would hold you up. You just assumed. You demonstrated a level of faith. Small, but it is faith. Without searching every little thing. So, believing. Faith is a gift, the ability to act on something we cannot see. Believing is something that in the Scriptures we are commanded to do. We are commanded to do this. In fact, if you read the Gospel of John, which we are, the whole point of the Gospel is so that you will believe. He's writing this to convince, so that you will believe. And then we learn in the Scriptures that we must believe. You have to believe. So both are necessary for salvation. Because believing by itself, it's not enough. That's what James talked about. He said, you say you have faith, but your faith is really believing, but ultimately it's believing like Satan did. Satan believes, but that doesn't do anything for him. You can, with all your heart, go, I believe there's a God. I believe that Jesus is the one, that he died on the cross, and it never do anything to move you in your life. You can say, I believe. Satan is an example. But faith is the response to what you say you believe. I believe he's there. Believe he's out there. Okay, then here's the word of God. Do you believe he is God? Well, I mean, that makes sense. I believe he's God. Because if you really believe he's God, then these words that are coming in will motivate your faith. And you'll be able to act on things you can't see, some things you don't see the result of, you can't see. And you'll begin to make decisions because God has said, and not because you can see how everything's going to work out. That's how we work in this life. We plan out, we anticipate, we try to do a little providence stuff, manipulate things, and hopefully it works out. But without the gift of faith, we could never exercise that which saves and the type of believing that saves. These two must be coupled. So the gospel is written to us. Jesus basically says here to him, behold, an Israelite who is real, genuine, who speaks what's on his heart, shoots from the hip. So Nathanael responds, how do you know who I am, what I'm like? It's not a, hey, how do you know me? That's kind of cool. It's not that kind of a question. It's like, how do you know me? You know, how do you have this? Where do you get this information from? And then Jesus says, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael replies, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. That was the moment of belief. In fact, the moment divine election and human choice lined up, and there was salvation. It's interesting how there's a tipping point, a genuine tipping point in someone's life when they are really saved, when their life really is given over into the hands of the Lord. There is a tipping point. It doesn't matter what you did. It could be, I lost all hope and finally gave in, and then it was like, wow, the Lord, finally, I gave myself over to the Lord, or finally gave up on fighting. Others are saying, you know, I ran from him, and I ran all the way, and he still saved me. There's so many different stories. For us to think that the way we see it and we experienced it is the only thing that there is to factor into how God operates is to be very arrogant. So a tipping point comes into every life, a moment where everything coming into your heart begins to make sense. Everything comes into your heart, everything addresses your heart, and everything around you is weighed. And it's a moment where heaven and earth meet. There's a collision in your life, and you are never the same. Now, you may walk away, and nothing's changed. The situations haven't changed. I've heard God do miraculous things with finances and other things in people's lives as they try to right things now in following the Lord. But for some, it's a long period of, okay, so what happens? What happens now? And it's a slow growing process. Some go back into the world for a time, not knowing any different. But for everyone, it's different. But it's a work that God begins his way in that life. Those who struggle like a Nathanael, they may seem like they're far from salvation. Don't get discouraged. Nathanael looked pretty far from salvation. He was already questioning, and yet it took one encounter with the Lord, and everything made sense. I mean, there were other things he heard. Hey, in the scriptures, this is the one. So he had that rattling around in his mind. He had a lot of stuff going on. And then this final thing is like, wow. Wow. Oh, no, this is him. And it made sense. So, verse 45, we need to keep moving. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So we see investigation, we see coming to the point of believing through investigation, then we see revelation. Now, I'm not talking about revelation like the final chapter or, you know, kind of weird things like God is saying to me. Not that. I'm talking about increasing in your knowledge and understanding. Revelation. Philip is excited. He grew up in a Jewish home with expectations of a Messiah, and it's like for him, whoa, this is the one we've been studying. He's here. Wow, this is that one. Which one? Well, the one we've been studying about.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other Gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in.